This is the Sarah and Vinny Secret Show on RadioAlice.com. Just a heads up, it's not for work, it's not for kids, but it is a good time. Available right here on RadioAlice.com.
You only hear it on the Secret Show. You won't find it on your radio. Oh, maybe you're not hip enough to know that Sarah and Vinny's got a secret show.
It's the garage door.
Winning is everything.
It is. Have to win.
Ah, let's settle in here.
Secret show.
Ceremony Secret Show for October 5th. It's a Thursday, 2017. Sarah, Vinny, Tommy Igo, our special guest, and Brynn in this room, and who am I going to use? I don't see Yuzi. Is Yuzi down here yet?
She's not here yet.
She's in a big meeting.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. She had to meet with Michael Martin.
Ew.
Big.
Okay, so.
Meeting.
Hooman.
Yes.
You just finished reading Tommy's bio.
Yeah.
Can you set up a little history of him?
Yeah, set up
for
who Tommy Igo is.
So who don't know.
So Tommy comes from jazz royalty, everyone. His dad.
Oh my God.
Dad was a really famous drummer, and we're kind of so in the world of jazz, Tommy's like a really big deal.
What's his name? Timmy Igo?
Sonny Igo.
Sonny.
Oh, Sonny.
Sonny. But his real name was Owen.
Yeah, but no one called him that. He used to play for Benny Goodman.
Oh.
He did.
That's a legit thing.
And yeah. So
was he on tons of recordings?
Not tons. He was on he toured a ton with him. He did a few recordings with him. The biggest bands he was a band called Woody Herman and Benny Goodman. Those are the two main. That's like touring with Madonna and Lady Gaga. These are like huge stars.
World.
But didn't they used to record? And I don't know. I'm asking because I know live albums are a big thing in jazz.
Mm-hmm.
And didn't they used to record a lot of those shows?
And they did. They recorded some of them, and some of them were really, like so. Crappily recorded and he never listened to him again. But then they made a couple of really good ones like in a studio.
Okay.
You know, but most of them were, you know, he did the touring thing. He was
don't whack it, it makes the whole thing vibrate.
Is that bothering you? Is that bothering you?
As a drummer, it is, that is bothering me.
Is that low hum bothering you?
Yeah. A little bit.
Go on.
That's okay.
I love annoying you.
So Sonny would stand there over you with a giant bat.
That's right.
And count. And
that was
each
my life.
Time you were wrong, he would just smash your drum set to
you
that.
Suck. You suck. You're a disgrace.
No, he didn't.
No, of course not. He did not want me to be a musician.
Really?
No.
Well, it's a hard life.
Yeah, it's like he's, you know, because it's very binary. You either make it or you don't. And there's, you never hear about the carcasses strewn along the side of the road. You always hear about the successes.
But people who are decent musicians can usually find, even if they don't become a rock star, you find a combo that you sit in with and you make a little extra money that way.
Yeah, money that way, but you don't make your living that way. Mm. So the people who, like, it's mostly the you know, don't even get me started on like music performance degrees and what people are like. For example, when I went to college, I dropped out after a year. It was about $3,000 to $5,000 a year or a semester to go to college. And now you go to Berkeley or something. I mean, these kids they're with a performance degree, they're graduating with 6-digit debt and they're with a jazz performance degree. I mean, good luck trying to get that back.
Right.
I have a couple questions.
Oh.
So because you come from this lineage, did you ever get to meet any of the really kind of like the Miles Davises or the Oscar Petersons or the Art Tatums? Did you ever meet Art Tatum?
No, I never met Art Tatum. But I met Sinatra.
Oh.
I've been a lot of you know, quote unquote, the A-list.
You were around those people.
I was. Well, I was playing in a mafia club in the 1980s in New York. It was called Jimmy Weston's, and it was a total mafia club where all, like, John Gotti used to hang out there, the whole Lucchese crime family and stuff. Like, we used to play. So, and the hours were from 10 to 3 a.m. We started
this is Gotti in his time, right?
Yeah,
not the tracheotomy Gotti.
No. Like, yeah, like the real, yeah.
Tracheotomy.
Yeah, John Sr., it was like the real deal. And Sinatra came in and like stars, a whole bunch of stars would just come in and You know, I met Sinatra. I could barely speak. He, like, when I met Sinatra, but Julie Andrews, I couldn't function in front of Julie Andrews. I just Sarah. Was like, Mary Poppins. I was like, I couldn't speak.
Julie Andrews.
I couldn't function, man.
Hey, we got to go see that. I'll have you come review the Gaudi movie that stars John Travolta, me and you. That's okay. Coming out next year in all February. Right. Since you know him.
Okay.
You knew him, right?
No. Hold it. No, those guys came in and they did not, I did not meet those guys. They were there. I've asked to meet Sinatra.
He sat there with his eyes closed, drumming, sweat rolling down his eyes. I'm not even here. I don't know anything about
it. The stories
any of this.
That happened in that club for the 2 years I played there was just, it was deep.
Did you ever see anyone get murdered?
No, but
that's good.
Right after, there was an assassination attempt on Gotti, and that night, so it was like a big deal. So like it was like down in Little Italy, whatever like that. Somebody tried to take him out from a rival family. And this is in the 80s when the stuff was like going down like heavily, right? Right out in the open. The guy missed. That guy disappeared, never to be heard from again.
Right.
That night, Gotti comes in with his entire
posse.
His the hierarchy of the family, and they sit down right in front of us. They came in at 3 o'clock. Stop bothering you. Is that bothering you? Is that low?
So
they're coming at 3 o'clock, and we're about done. All right, and we're like, man, we're tired. It's 3 o'clock.
Right.
You know, we're playing for
5 hours.
So it was like there were two bands. They play for an hour, we play for an hour. They play for an hour, we play for an hour.
No breaks.
10, 12, 2, right? And so our last set was from 2 to 3 a.m. And about 3 a.m., a bunch of guys come in and they disappear into the darkness of this very dark club.
Mm-hmm.
And then Gotti comes in with about 12 people. They sit down right in front of us this is right out of the movies. It's like they sit down right.
That was their security that went
in? Yeah, it was like their secret service. Right? They never saw it. They disappeared. Okay. Right. They come in, they sit in a circle right in front of the band. And he plops down a whole bunch of $100 bills in front to the leader and says, play for another hour and make it loud. And they had a meeting right in front of us so they couldn't get taped.
Oh,
bugged. And we played for an hour, the loudest we could play, and they were all standing. They were yelling, screaming, Brian, we couldn't hear a thing they were saying. They were like at each other's face and stuff like this, so nobody could pick up what they were saying. And then right before 4 o'clock, Right before 4 o'clock, they got up, left. Their protection came out from the corners. They left. And we went home.
Did you do a lot of drum solos during that 1 hour?
Oh yeah, actually, that's actually really funny. They were like, just go, you know, like.
So you don't stop between songs. Just keep
tired
that going,
were you?
Little drummer boy.
Well, I was actually kind of freaking out because the table they were sitting at and the front door was in a straight line to me. So it was like if anybody comes,
you're in the line of fire.
Right. So I'm playing and I'm like, I'm looking this way and I'm like, and no one cared what you were playing. They just wanted it loud. So I would just be playing like moronic surfer beats for, you know, boom, shakako, bugado, shakako, you know, just to make noise.
Just keep the decibels high.
Yeah. There, no breaks. If we ever stopped, they were like, you know, keep it going. You know.
So, Vinny and I had a meeting about you before you got down here.
Oh, a meeting.
We've debated something.
Uh-oh.
And I think I'm about to lose this bet here because I had no idea you were, you know, playing at such a prominent place surrounded by so much young hop all the time. Have you had sex with more than 250 women?
Oh, hold on. Before you answer that.
Why?
Because he asked us this too. Clearly, this is what Vinny cares about. How much tail you've scored. Because he comes in, he sits down with me.
This is my boy right here.
Goes, do you think that Tommy has slept with more than 250 women? And so we all had answers for his question.
I said no.
You said no. I also said no. I said he slept with between 100 and 200 women.
But now that you hear about this club... with all the gangsters. Were you single during this time you played at this club?
He strikes me single as a serial monogamist.
What does it mean?
Yeah, what does single mean? I'm not a notch on the bedpost guy. I don't know the exact number. I don't know who does, besides like Will Chamberlain or
not
something
me.
Like that.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, Sarah definitely doesn't know.
No, I'd really know. I think it's probably, I think you're right.
Best guess us.
Yeah.
Right there.
Yeah.
You're saying more than 250.
God, I
don't. You have 250 chicks?
He's 251.
How did you even find time for that?
Hold on. So listen, this is what I was thinking too. And
there's a lot of time on the road. I was on the road for between three and nine months a year for a long period of my life.
For 20 years.
From when he was a young guy. So he was married or whatever for a chunk of time, but he also was doing this celebrity, this musician thing for a long time.
We can. You don't have to answer this, but you do. Worst STD.
My worst STD? Yeah. I never had one.
You Okay. Time you never got
hold
an
it.
STD.
Hold it. Now hold here's it. There was a girl in Florida I was
Pumin
seeing.
Who
was a repeat? All right, now she.
All right, so she was a repeat customer. Right. Every time you came to Florida, she was the port.
Wound up living together for a little bit. Okay, so we were hanging around doing what kids do, and the next she calls me up, says, "So I'm sending you something in the mail." And she apparently had gotten an exam and had something.
Chlamydia or something?
I guess.
Gonorrhea?
Play chlamydia.
Syphilis?
I think. And she said, you have to take this just in case. And it was like a antibiotic pill, I guess, or something like that. And her gyno gave her one for her and one for me and sent it up. And
that's very kind
of
him.
It was Yeah.
Are you Facebook friends with the girl from Florida? Be honest for once.
Oh, because he's going to look her up
for once. No, I'm not, actually. Okay. And I've looked for her.
Oh, you have?
Yeah. She was like, she's nice. Yeah, why not? Yeah, totally. She got married a chef, and everybody's happy.
We should add, like hold on, before you move to the next question, we should add, Yuzette got it right, too.
No, she said she thought, like I did, between 100 and 200.
Oh, she did?
Yeah. You're the one who's splitting hairs.
You're the one that got it right.
You're splitting hairs between 200 and 250, aren't you? Once you
No, it's 251. We know it's 251. Hey, so what year did you, because you're a divorced guy, what year were you married? Did you get married?
96.
Okay, so from... And you were playing in Gotti's Club in 1980?
Oh, yeah. Mid 85. 85.
From 84 to 96. Look at this guy.
Well, I mean, I started touring in 83. Well, it was my first international tour when I went.
Are we the same age? You're 50?
I am 52.
You're even older. So you would have graduated high school like 82. So right out of high school, you did a year of college and then boom, right on the road.
Right. I was getting a performance degree, which was like, I was like, God, just shoot me in the face. William Patterson, which is a great jazz school. Really, really great. It's just outside New York City. Uh-huh. And it's a state school that had this killer jazz program that was actually one of the first of its kind. They had all the elite guys of New York were there and stuff. So I got into that program, which was actually really hard. I got into that. I was there for a year, and I'm hitting the table.
He's a very handsy talker.
I'm a handsy guy. Yeah.
Vinny, your hand is up.
Yeah, so let me ask you a question. So you grow up with a dad that is a known jazz great. Do you have a period of time where you're not into jazz, and you're like, Dad, I listen to rock and roll, or whatever?
Yeah, I am not a purist at all. I've always listened to rock and roll. I'm not a jazz guy. I'm a music guy, and I've never been.
I was gonna say, even though you're a jazz guy, but you're also, you see your shows, and there's a lot of sort of like, he tries to do a whole mix of like.
I don't really fit in anywhere, to be honest with you. The jazz guys don't like me because I'm not a jazz guy. The rock guys don't like me because I can play rings around them. And then it's like, it's just, where do you fit in? And I decided when I was 40, I said, the only way that I fit in is if I lead.
The band leader guy.
I'm not working as a sideman anymore. And that was when I said, that's it.
And it is funny because generally speaking, you don't see a drummer whose kid is in the front of the stage.
Right.
And he's surrounded in a semicircle by the rest of the players. And Tommy is, and actually that's one of the coolest things. If I'm just going to kiss your ass a little bit, I try never to do it because
you always balance the scales.
Giant cocky dude.
Shut up.
But he sits up there, and you've seen his show before.
Oh yeah.
He's up at the front, and I mean, honestly, I don't really know from drumming. You seem really good. And your hands are going all over the place, and it's these intricate rhythms. But he's not even paying attention to what he's playing. He's looking over his shoulder, nodding and gesticulating about whatever the next thing that's going to be is, and he's, I mean, it's honestly so fun to watch you because you're just in your element, you're sweating and you're just laughing and you have a whole rapport going with everybody in the band. It's really, and it's a cool thing because you don't really ever see the drummer highlighted.
Especially
like
in jazz,
that.
You see a lot of very serious faces and like uh-huh. there's serious music, and I don't like playing music where you need an instruction manual. I'm not into it, you know? Right. I think anybody should be able to come in and see my show, and I don't care what they like. They should be able to say, man, that was cool. Whatever that was.
The rapport is great. Yeah. It's a good show. You're funny, and you're right up front. And you, I mean, it is. It's a cool show.
I'm trying to break the wall down between jazz and its audience and just, like, invite people up on stage. And, like, you know, there's...
You know the meeting? He's like, I got a sucky singer up there.
You know the meeting? You always love watching that meeting we do before we go on.
Yes, that is like, actually really interesting.
Everyone says like you should do it, like there should be a film crew back there to see that, because we just that's what it's like. People want to see that. So why are we trying to keep it
in this meeting that they do before the show? It's clear there is no plan.
And no plan
for whatever they're playing that night, other than because the few times I've seen it, you've had a plan in that I'm playing certain songs and we've already decided what those are.
Yeah.
However, the order has not necessarily been decided. And so he sits there and he listens. He holds up the pieces of music because they all have a score, and he decides which one should go where. So he's calling out numbers, and it's like a flurry of paper back there, and they'll even like sing a little, and then it goes in, all right, let's do it in that order. And they pick the other songs that they're going to do. And the whole set gets thrown together in the 15 minutes before.
Do you think that keeps you guys interested?
Well, that's...
Like, it keeps it fresh
and it keeps
exciting.
The band on their toes.
Right.
So, you know, Springsteen, I think, there's 200 tunes that the band has to be ready to play at any time. And that's...
Funny.
That's intentional, you know, because... You got to, I mean...
If he's feeling it, he wants to do this.
It's
right.
Like when you go out and you play the same tunes every night, it is really easy to get stale, you know? And when my band goes out, like, no one knows where they're going to play solos. No one knows the tempos. No one knows the order. There's a big, giant open section, and I don't know what's going to happen in
it,
you know? And that's the way everyone has to keep their antenna up and sharp, you know?
Point at someone and they go, oh, my turn? Yeah. And then they go, you know, they've got 12 bars and they do it.
I think you even see that with rock bands where they create a set list each night before the show.
What are we feeling?
Right. And that's pretty cool because there are people who will travel around to see a band multiple times.
Right.
And go, if it were the same thing.
Absolutely.
Hey,
you know, you got to split the difference between what the fans want. Like, you know, so Springsteen's got to play Rosalita.
Right.
He's got to play Thunder Road. He's got to do that. But there's like a whole bunch of other tunes that he's going to play his new music.
Hundreds of songs that he's got to pull from.
I have two questions.
Okay.
I don't know which mic's working. But a little energy. Listen, I want you to answer this, but you don't have to answer it. But this is another question that me and Vinny were debating before you got down here for our meeting before you got down here. Who's the most famous chick you f***ed?
Okay, hold on.
Oh my goodness.
Let me retell the conversation.
Oh,
so I go,
okay, start over.
This is what I said.
Oh,
I said,
good. So I didn't miss anything.
No, you missed a lot.
You missed a ton of stuff.
Damn it.
I said, do you think Tommy's boned a celebrity? And he said, what do you mean, like Lindsay Lohan or something? And I said, no,
but
I
yes,
actually
also,
think
right.
I no. I think that a Lindsay Lohan would go to a rock show, and she. But I think an artist, some actress artist type, would go to a show that he does, and would be way more into a Tommy Igoe than your typical run of the mill pop star rock guy.
Right.
So I would bet he's boned.
Don't answer.
Hot celebrities, but I'm thinking they're more of the artist type.
I was
and
thinking
less of the
yes, like a Lindsay sort
right,
of pop
right, right,
culture.
Right, right.
I agree that he's had access, but I think too that he's also been on Broadway for a really long time. Like he knows sort of a
like Idina Menzel.
Right. Like
Adele
right.
Dazeem.
Adele Dazeem. People who are famous and can have an appreciation for, like I even just said, like I, you know, oh, the guy's a drummer. Like if only I knew something about drummers. But there are people who have an appreciation
for
that.
Well, here's what you know about drummers, though. And this is what I think. All the chicks want to bone the drummers. And it's because this is what I think. I think they can individually kiss and move their hips at different rates while they're boning you. They can do this And other people can't, you know? Like, if I start to kiss you, I stop humping you. I can't do both at the same...
It's like chewing.
Patting your head.
That's not going to happen.
And he's playing a drum.
Right.
So, you're actually on his lap while he's playing the show.
So I
booking
think
my next tour. Right. I'm sorry, honey. What?
Is that true? You can do all that at once?
Sure.
Do you think you're better at multitasking than other people just because you actually can? Really?
Actually, I suck at multitasking. I'm a focused mother boy. I'm like, bam. Like right there. I am totally focused.
But I'm watching you do 10 things, one with each hand, one with each foot, and one with your mouth and your head turned over your shoulder.
I can play drums in my sleep. That's like, I can
so
just,
that's not even a task.
You know, the
as
whole,
far as
like, the whole, you know, 20,000 hours, whatever, and stuff like that.
I'm
going to
answer the question.
Time.
Oh, what was the question again?
Oh, my
about
God.
About that actress.
Sarah.
Or...
Oh, yeah. Okay. So,
God, Sarah.
Well, I like the whole frame rate thing, though. Like, you know, like, you got rates down here. You got, yeah. That's very interesting. And by the way, I got to say one thing. It's not true that they all want to bone the drummer. There are some.
They want to bone the singer.
No.
Who do they want?
They do.
The bassist?
Some.
The
some,
bass?
I like the bass guys.
Yeah.
You do? Yeah.
I'm telling you.
Wants
I always women, want the bass guys.
Women have preferences for mm-hmm. the... For,
I
I'm
want
telling.
The singer.
Yep.
I'd give me Robert Plant.
Yep. There you go. You're a singer. Yep. So
that's,
the
maybe
the
that's
whole,
it.
The whole intellectual keyboard thing drives some women crazy. Mm-hmm.
So who's the know? Chick?
Here we wow.
go. You don't have to.
No,
but,
don't
but,
do
but
that.
I'm not going to say the name. So
bang
I
the
would
table
say,
to punish her well, for saying I mean, that. Just bang the table.
There's a famous model in England.
Oh.
In England.
Is it Kate Moss?
6 foot two, like, yeah.
Look
like,
it up,
Naomi
Brin.
Campbell.
No, I can't say the name.
Is it Kate Moss?
No. Say the name and we'll bleep it.
Yeah.
No, I can't say the name.
Give us the initials.
I don't kiss and tell. I can't do that.
I'd like to buy a vowel for $250.
Besides, she was not... technically single at the time.
Oh.
She was on her way out. She was on her way out. They were separated.
Uh-huh. Is that what she told you?
No, it was actually
6 foot two English.
It is what she told me, but I verified it later.
You didn't care.
I doubt at the time.
How many times did you hit it?
A lot.
All right.
You were an affair.
I was a guilty pleasure, I think.
For how long?
Radio.com. A while, because it became a touring thing. Like,
oh, she would go meet you on tour.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any
Did
pictures?
Did she wear like a disguise or something?
No, because she wasn't really super duper famous over here. It was over there. Like she was on like side of like buildings kind of thing for photo shoots
Find,
and stuff like that.
Super famous English model, 6 foot two.
Were you totally into her?
In this the 80s?
You know,
80s,
I gotta tell you, I gotta be honest with you. No.
Oh.
Wait, what was the question?
It was,
I know who it is!
It was more the exterior
right,
shell.
Right, but
was,
I'm
like,
saying.
That was sick, but like it, the whole, anything else?
Is it Helena Christensen?
No, I'm not doing this.
Big.
He just smiled.
Not
it's
doing
Helena
it.
It's Helena Christensen!
She was big here. You said she wasn't big here.
She was big in Wicked Games. Was it Linda Evangelista?
Is she English?
No.
Yes.
Are you,
I got
are you
it!
Sure?
Is she 6'2"?
Anyway.
She's about 6'2", 6 feet. Six, I, what, she wore
she
heels. She, when she was on her heels, it was like eye level.
Was it Rebecca Romijn Stamos?
Oh, my
She's
God.
She's not English. 6'2", English, 1980s supermodel.
I'm not doing this.
I can't believe you can get service down here.
Wow.
That you even looked that up. I think
T-Mobile. Thanks, T-Mobile.
Amazing.
Save that.
Yeah. I know.
All right. Oh, go ahead.
Did you have another question?
I was actually going to see if he wanted, I mean, I don't know how much time we have, but I was going to see if Tommy had some advice
for
someone.
All right, let's do one.
You want to do that?
I guess.
All right, we do a segment called Bad Advice. People write in.
My specialty.
It can be about anything.
Awesome.
So here's one. I've been listening to you guys on The Secret Show for many, many years. I've noticed recently you've been dispensing advice to young women to freeze their eggs. So because we get questions from people all the time, and it seems like they're about to just have a baby because they're at the age and the clock
tick,
is ticking,
yeah.
et cetera.
Well, this also comes from that conversation I had with my doctor friend.
Right, where your eggs are decrepit.
When we went mountain biking, and he was saying so many women are having these, or trying to get pregnant so late in life. And this was a private conversation. He wasn't trying to give me advice or anything, but he did say
the topic.
A woman in her 40s, her eggs are decrepit. Like, these eggs should have been frozen 10 or 20 years before that in order to make sure you were going to have the best possible chance at a super healthy kid.
Right. So this lady's 32. I do not make a lot of money. I have enough to meet all my needs and live a pretty comfortable lifestyle. I want for nothing, but I drive a 14-year-old car, and I was planning on saving up a little to buy a new one next year. My car drives fine, but I commute and anticipate needing a new one soon. I'm not sure if you're aware that when you suggest women freeze their eggs, it's expensive and not covered by insurance. My research says 10 to 12 grand for the procedure and another $800 a year for egg storage. And I did know it was expensive. Yeah. I actually thought it might be more than that. That actually seems like, okay, you scrimp and save.
Well,
and
look, you have other options. One is don't have a kid. Two is try and have one late in life and you get what you get. But, you know, so we're not saying that you should do this, but
consider it.
If you're going to have kids, if that's on your, you know, wish list, then this is worth the money, I would think.
I was in a relationship with a man for about 11 years, 19 to 30. So she was 19 and they broke up when he was 30. He was always clear and adamant he did not want children. I accepted that. Frankly, unlike some people, I've never thought having a child would complete me or that I'd be missing out if I didn't have one. While in that relationship, I didn't think about having kids too much. Plus, she was in her 20s like the whole time.
Right.
We broke up about 2 years ago. When that happened, the possibility of having a child was suddenly on the table for me. In recent months, I thought it's something that I do want to do. Again, I don't think that my life will not be full and happy without a child, but I think having one is something I would like to do. I've been actively dating and putting myself out there for the past 6 months or so. I've met plenty of nice people, but nothing's really clicked. In reality, I'll likely be single for a while more, which is fine, and will not be in the territory to be discussing having a child with anyone that I do date anytime soon. So, do I freeze my eggs? Again, I don't make a lot of money. I worked to knock out my credit card debt in the last couple months. If I really buckle down and don't go on an international trip that I was planning on taking next year, or buy a car, I could save the 12 grand in about a year. Being that having a child is not an overwhelming urge for me, is the investment worth it? I don't think I would use the eggs and have a baby on my own. This would be insurance to use if I decide to have a baby with someone else in the future. Would freezing my eggs now be a sunk cost? Should I just buy a car? And she put a photo on here, but I didn't. It didn't print.
Let me see her.
It didn't print.
Oh.
It didn't print.
Because that matters. Because that matters a lot in this conversation, right? That's very, very pertinent to the conversation.
Yeah, it was a picture of her car. No,
let me see if she's hot.
Yeah.
I'll decide whether.
Well, you could look her up. I mean, her name.
No, we don't need kids to look like you around here. Nope.
Yeah. Good. Now that's.
You're beastly. I think even the way she's posed this, it's really hard. Like, that is a totally personal thing. I mean, but if you...
She's 32. It's not like... It's not 40, you know? It's
getting there, though.
Yeah, but it's not there yet. And she's like, it's... I mean, when does the bell start really ringing?
35.
Like, 35, right? So she's got 3 years to that point.
What if she doesn't freeze them and really wants kids later and then really can't?
You got to have an honest conversation with yourself and say, yes. Because Erin and I have a mutual friend who is going through regret.
A friend of theirs.
A friend. And it's like they're, you know.
So too old to have kids now and really wishes that she had.
Yeah. And the whole time before they were saying it was okay, I have dogs or whatever, puppies and kittens or something like that. But then it's just like.
Suddenly when you can't, it might actually become a thing.
Well, that's what you're telling yourself too, right? I mean, I'm okay with this, but you're not.
Yeah, I actually think that she's considering it to the point where she's written a radio show, you should, for your own peace of mind, save that money up and freeze your eggs. That is just my off-the-cuff advice right now, only because
you don't want regret.
I know that person too. They're in their 40s and they actually start to get really sad that they didn't have a kid, and it's not because they couldn't have had a kid, it's because they waited too long.
Well, she was also in a really a long relationship throughout her entire 20s, and it's over,
right?
And now she's single. And how long is she going to be single?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think it'll take away the desperation factor for sure.
So what I was going to say, I agree with both of you. Well, I don't know where you're at. The regret thing sounds like you're with Sarah, and I agree with that too. Freeze the eggs, because you know what? Even if you meet the guy, you don't want to run him down the aisle and run him into the maternity ward.
Right. Yep.
You want to be able to, because that could scare a perfectly good partner away because you're feeling the heat.
Right.
Yeah. And if you've got those eggs saved, you don't have to trip.
You can
go into that relationship and go at a natural pace and not feel like Tick, tick, buddy. Are we? Because yeah. I have to get rid of you.
And get someone, a viable partner.
Right.
And the other thing is, too, I feel like, I don't know how many they take when they do an egg harvest like this, but if you are, let's say you're 48 years old and you decide that this is the time and I'm with the person and I wasn't desperate and I'm happy and settled and we're going to have this baby, and then you can't get pregnant, even, you know, with your own eggs, you still have eggs and there are other options for you. I just really think that... Yeah, it's expensive and it's not going to be for everyone, but you're 32 and you're already kind of pondering it. I say do it.
And I think you're the only one in this room with a uterus, and you have a very unique perspective that we will never really understand. That this coming from a female, talking to a female
Thank
about
you
her
for
eggs.
Noticing my uterus.
You know, yeah, I mean,
I
it's important.
That.
You know, it's. I think that's, you know, that's why I get really pissed off when I see a bunch of men on a panel about abortion.
I'm
really
with
pisses
you.
Me off. You know, yeah. It's just like, I think you can probably sympathize with her in a way that we can't.
I am a feminist, as you know, at heart. So thank you for noticing.
Yeah.
If I could have done it, I would have done it.
Because
now I can't have babies.
So let me ask you this, and here's another totally different perspective. You said couldn't have babies. And you were in your 30s when you everything was taken.
Yeah.
If this had
when
been...
When you mean everything, you don't mean her wallet,
no,
her glasses.
All her reproductives. Did you still have your ovaries at that point, or they just took everything?
It was a partial thing, but yeah, they took them. And I think...
what is that called? A hysterectomy?
Yeah, I had to have a hysterectomy. When were we... We started together in 97?
97. And you had that within 5 years or so of that. So
yes. Yeah. Late
about
there.
Early 30s.
So if
you
I
had
could have had
You had it in 2000 then? Probably.
I guess so, yeah.
Around then.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So
that's probably about right.
If this had been... Because I know you didn't really hear that much about anything like this back then. Mm. At the time, you could have put that off, ripened the eggs... saved him and possibly had a baby down the line.
Right.
And you would have.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's the other thing is that John, getting together with him, he was like, I already have my kids.
Yeah.
I have two kids. I don't want any more. So for years, it was a struggle for me. I was always crying.
Well, but so here's something that I would say to that. And you may not agree or think about this, but a lot of times a partner who's in it with you who may have this opinion, be of this opinion that is, I already did that, I'm not doing that. But if you were to come to him and say, this is something I mm-hmm. really want, mm-hmm. I really want this, you'd be surprised. I think that most guys, if they're really in love and if they are really your partner, would feel like, I couldn't live with myself keeping that from you.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not getting up in the middle of the night or whatever his, you know,
he will. Don't worry.
Stipulations
ladies.
Are going to be. Who knows?
Yeah.
But that I could see
where. I think
where,
you're right. He if.
He knew how it important it was to
yeah,
you.
Yeah, he knew how important. And I actually wonder. And this sounds so horrible, but I wonder if he was actually. He didn't want to see me in all that pain I went through, all those surgeries. But I wonder if he was ever relieved.
That
like
he was. You were never going to be asking.
Yeah.
For that, the second family.
Probably. Yeah. Probably wouldn't want to tell you.
Well,
yeah,
sure.
Exactly.
It's good that he never did. That'd
right.
probably be grounds for divorce.
Thank God.
You a hole.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, do it.
Yeah, I think she should do it. I think the fact that she's questioning it at this point means that she should.
Agreed.
And international travel is not going to wipe your ass when you're 90 either.
No, that's for sure. You'll have dementia. You won't even remember your international travel.
I have a personal question for Tommy.
I have a personal question for Tommy.
Tommy Igoe, our special guest this morning.
And you don't have to, but you should answer this. Are you going to have
kids? Cut it out, you guys.
I didn't do that.
Yes, you did.
Are you going to have kids with your new wife/fiance?
Oh, no, absolutely not.
You sure about that?
No. She's got two. I got two. We're done. Bye.
Oh.
That is it. Not
How
even
old
a discussion.
Is she? She's only like 40. She could have more.
Just think
oh,
about
yeah,
it.
She could.
Don't
she could.
No.
Yeah, she
no,
could,
right.
but
Wait,
no.
so you guys did already discuss it?
No, we have Captain the Golden Retriever. That's our child.
Captain the Golden Retriever.
That dog is such a pain in the ass, man.
Oh, God.
He's
stop
ruining
it.
Their floors and all
oh,
their
God,
furniture's
stop.
Trash.
Is it a puppy?
He digs up their
Whose dog is it? Whose dog is it?
It's their dog.
No,
it's
who?
Theirs.
You guys got it
together?
Yeah.
It's a bad idea.
Oh my God! Idea. It's the best thing ever. Are you kidding?
What about your furniture and stuff?
It
oh
sound
my
like
God!
It.
You guys are you know like
floors.
You're talking about stuff. Like, are you those people?
No,
like,
I'm not there. Like,
I am not
that guy. It's a very sweet dog.
I'm not like, it's like that American Beauty.
But it cannot come in my house.
American Beauty, that scene in American Beauty where he's trying to like kiss her and she goes, you're going to spill your beer on the Italian silk couch, you know? It's like, he's like, it's just a couch. It's just a couch. What's wrong with you? You know? We don't have like, you know, we have couches that are like, you know, whatever.
Well, they're covered in dog hair now.
Oh, God.
I know. He's a sweet dog.
Oh, he loves you, too. He's going to be so disappointed you said that about him.
He loves everyone. I don't feel
it's
special
true.
Or single.
They are
it's
friendly
true.
Dogs.
They yeah, are very sure. friendly.
He's very sweet.
Once he gets it out of his system, though, he just lays on the floor. But he's got to greet you.
He's got to greet you.
Does he jump?
That's sweet.
You know what? Tommy's actually one of those rare dog owners that has put his foot down on the jump, and the dog doesn't jump on you, which is huge.
He just needs to bring you things. He has to bring you
all
presents.
Your balls.
Yeah. Here's my stick.
I have to present you with a shoe. I have to present you with a ball. Look what I brought you.
Well,
I brought you
shoe.
These things.
My shoe.
I
we all know that dog.
Yeah.
It's so cute.
I love you so much. Here's crap at your feet. You know. So, and then once he's done, he's done. He just lays in the corner.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, one more before we go.
Okay. Yeah, I'm looking.
Do you have a short one?
I'm looking.
No, that one's long.
It's not long. It's a huge.
How long we been here? Hey, what's how long we been here, Vin?
Let me take a look real quick. I'm doing like 60.
Yeah, what do we got for time here?
37 minutes.
Yeah, that's plenty. He's got a lot of editing. All right, what do you want to do?
Got a lot of stuff.
Let's just do a quick one.
All right.
We can even edit it out. Hello, all.
Torture woman.
I know. Hello, all.
Oh, wait. Before, what? We should also add Tommy's Got Show. What is your show with
two
the painter?
Oh, yeah. Two shows this month.
The 21st is at Throckmorton in Mill Valley. And the 24th, we're going to do a tribute to Buddy Rich, who would have been 100 years old this year. We're going to do that at Yoshi's in Oakland, the 24th.
But the 21st is the one where you actually have an artist. Who has canvases set up and paints during the
painting.
Show.
Music.
Inspired by the music, and then they auction them off silent auction after the show.
Yeah. That's really cool.
That is, it's a really neat concept.
And your website is what?
TommyIgo.com.
Spell your last name.
IGOE.
.com. Let's hear it.
The email. Read the email. What are you doing?
What's wrong with you?
Oh, I think you're going to do the .com.
For the email.
I don't have sound effects down here.
Hello, all. Even human. Ha.
Ha.
I wrote you in 2014 about my wife, future ex, going to an annual high school reunion back east every year since 2009. Well, she did end up having an affair with another married man back there starting in 2013. It was an emotional affair for a couple of years and then transitioned to a physical one. I had the gut feeling about it and saw numerous signs. We had hundreds of arguments about it. The Facebook pictures exposed everyone in the end. Anyway, you guys knew something was going on and you were correct. So this is, he had written to us years ago.
Wow.
And we said, yeah, that bitch is cheating on you.
Mm-hmm.
I told her to leave in January of 2015, and I stayed in the house with the kids, now 20 and 23. We've gotten to the end, close to a settlement. The house will have to be sold this January, South Bay area. Well, I've been doing online dating. Ugh. But women my age, 50s, throw it at you on the third date. Yes, intercourse. Third date?
Third date.
I
that's
think
late.
50s chicks are like, well, let's just do it. We're both grown ups here. And— just pummel me already. Anyway. Now I'm now dating a lovely woman in her 40s. So this dude, what do you say, he's 50?
Yeah,
50s. I'm now dating a lovely woman in her 40s. We've been casual acquaintances for 2 years, and by pure happenstance, we've spent a few occasions together. And then I asked her on a date. That was the beginning of this month, of September. We still look at each other and say, how did this happen? We seem well matched. Well, you guys were right. To get over someone, you have to get on top of someone.
Yeah.
Well, under is what Yuzette
says. That's what I say, under.
Life is funny. Oh, this isn't bad advice.
Oh, what the
it's
hell?
Just a, it's just a follow.
All right.
Okay.
Hold on. I have a question for Tommy.
Oh.
Jesus.
He just wants to go.
I don't understand what... Okay, so we had an email.
Yeah.
And this guy said that all drummers use drumsticks to milk their prostate.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I thought about
what?
Telling
Tommy. To milk their prostate.
This dude.
Do you do that?
Oh, my God. No. What?
You've never used one of your own drumsticks.
Oh, my God. What the f***? No.
No, it's a thing.
It's not a thing anybody I hang with. Who the hell is this guy? This
have
is like,
you ever
like,
noticed one drumstick missing from your
never
collection?
Never in my life ever. Who? What? No.
The dude can't even have regular sex anymore because all he wants to do is put the drumstick bomb.
That's so Stop.
But he
oh
said it's
God.
All drummers.
Well,
it's
this
all
drummers. Guy is... okay, hold it.
He
stop.
Actually name called you.
Right. Well, I'm, which means nothing. Is this guy a player or is he a guy who owns drums or is
no.
he a drummer?
Well, he's neither.
He uses drumsticks. That's what
yeah.
we know.
Okay,
he
so,
went into a drumstick store and bought some drumsticks.
So this,
and again. He was lying to the guy. We say, up, oh,
man.
Yeah, yeah, I'm a drummer.
I can't I'm... wait. I can't wait to tell my friends this story. This is great. No, I can tell you right now, no. That is so not it.
You can
you don't
say
even know,
on the record right now, you've never put a drumstick where the sun don't shine.
That is like the most...
yes,
like
yes
ever. No. The answer is no. And the other thing is that, you know, we work our ass off to pair them. Like, because they come out of the sleeves and sometimes they're not exactly right. So we go, we'll line them up on a table and we pitch and weight match and get them exactly like to
and
their
so
little
And so you're
neighbor.
Saying all
really?
The bad ones... There are no bad ones. They have to be matched. It's like, what the f***? I mean, I get mine for free, and I still would. Like, look, I'll tell you what. Get this guy. Get his number. I'll send him my rejects, and he'll be a happy guy for the rest of his life.
He'll never know.
He has drumsticks.
That's like the weirdest thing I've ever heard. God,
yeah,
now I'm going to be thinking
too.
About that. I'm going to be, oh, it's in my head.
Well, every time I see you, it's all I can think about.
Oh, so. No. Oh, God, no.
Tommy, I go on the
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.